Okay, and welcome to the Duck Gray Ducks on a Pond cast. We still don't have a name, guys. Come on. We've got to get into this. Anyway, I think it's Thursday night. The Twins are long after their ungracious exit from the playoffs. And so we're going to dig right into that, you know, everything we need to talk about right away. Leafy greens on sandwiches, Pete.
Yeah,
I had not considered all of the implications of that. And to be honest, there are some thought for moments in that conversation for me. I must admit, I do like spring, you know, mixed vegetables on a sandwich. But yeah, it can be unwieldy. And Zumex, I can plain, you know, plain lettuce on a sandwich, even iceberg lettuce. Doesn't add much, but it gives it that nice cool crisp that's in the very expensive cold water delivery system like iceberg lettuce can give you. But yeah, I mean, arugula, everything, wow, that kind of blew my mind a little bit to consider.
Yeah, I only put fresh oleander leaves on mine. Other than that, if it's not something that is on the verge of life and death, then I don't even want to discuss it.
Oh, that's fair. I did get new inspiration to try to start growing sprouts because, as was discussed, yes, they're a horrible death delivery system as well.
So you know exactly what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. No question. All right, that's enough of that. So the Twins.
I will say I did put some raspberry and crushed pecan mm-hmm. on a sandwich, and my wife thought I was crazy and my coworkers thought I was crazy, but I had the last laugh because it was delicious and it was world altering.
Well, actually, first of all, we should give a plug to Meats Earl of Sandwich Instagram account because it's actually pretty wonderful. But what did you put with raspberries and pecans? I think that
needs to be asked.
I get where you're going, but it depends on the full mix here. So give us your Earl of Sandwich combination and your out of 10 rating.
It does. We are still semi on a diet, so my seed bread is actually like a discount, like healthy seed bread. So it's nowhere near as good. But that and some turkey. And some crushed pecan and some raspberry. I picked the raspberries out of my garden, literally, and just smashed them with a knife onto my sandwich. And so
I was going to ask exactly how you added the raspberries. Okay, I can
live with that. That's how the forefathers would have wanted it, really. Smashed with a butter knife. And I would give it a solid 7 out of 10. Could have been improved by getting better bread.
Was there any form of cheese in any form involved?
I got really, really, really generic pepper jack because that's the type of...
Whoa.
That's pepper the type jack? Of cheese I eat.
No, I love pepper jack, but that throws like, things askew.
Like what we're saying is the most generic pepper jack possible. There's like best value pepper jack. Mm. I'm going to take it a step down.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take you on a journey to okay value.
Oh, here we go.
Okay value pepper jack cheese. I can see you salivating, and it.
Oh, yeah.
And you're right to do so. You're right to do so because
there's some chops looking going on over here.
And you ought to because the best, and not the best because actually. The sandwich could have been vastly improved by improving literally all the parts of it except for the raspberries.
Well, first of all, this is going to generate some comments. And second of all, I think we're going to have to leave that up to the masses because I can neither confirm nor deny that at this point. But I will at the very least take you for your word that you believe that's true.
Realistically, it was about a 6 of 10 sandwich that could have been an 8 of 10 if I would have had better cheese and better bread.
Well, as we all know, there's plenty of experts on the site, so I'm sure they're going to break this down piece by piece.
And if I'd had, and if the oleander would have been fresh.
Fair enough. Oh God, where do we go from here?
Now to
baseball.
more sad topics.
Some guys, more, you know, possibly guys, obvious disasters.
The
Twins
I'm
versus
so sad.
Astros playoff. Oh,
I'm
God.
So sad.
Yes,
so
I know. Sad. I mean, it was so obvious to begin with. And if you look at the spreadsheet of the playoff predictions, every single person got the wild card matchup wrong, I believe.
It wasn't just us.
Oh, no. I know.
Yes, every single ESPN person picked us. I think we weren't necessarily like the prohibitive favorites, unlike Dan Zimborski's Zips or anything, but he threw us a bone at least. Like everybody was like, yeah, the Twins are going to win this one. They're going to win it handily. They're the better team, obviously. Why wouldn't they win?
Well, first of all, we weren't under 500. There's going to be a lot of sighing coming up, I think. So, in so many words, where did things go wrong? Well, at the very least, pick one for now.
Pop-ups.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
That literally is the beginning and end of it.
Laying off Framber Valdez's curveball.
Oh, God. The first two batters did it so well, like literally. The first two batters were like, oh, hey, that sucks. I'm not going to swing at it. And literally every batter after that was like, oh, no, I see some of that.
I got to swing at that. That's so meatball-y. Oh, wait, it's way down by my ankles.
Oh, boy. okay, yeah, there's one. All right, so pitching and bullpen usage and some pretty quick hooks.
Here it comes.
I think what this series proved is we need an ace. Who can go 13 innings without giving up a run so that we can lose more like the Reds?
Right. Well, yeah, if only we had Trevor Bauer, we would have won that game.
I mean, in fairness, if we would have had Trevor Bauer pitching, we would have lost in the 13th inning.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Well, and to be honest, as we're recording this, he's technically still in the game, but Kershaw has gone 8
Trevor
innings
Bauer.
So far.
No, Trevor Bauer's done, man.
Trevor Bauer has already thanked his Cincinnati fans and said that he's not going to go to Houston, I think, is about it.
Yeah.
Kershaw, honestly, not to get ahead of ourselves, but because I assume that we're going to be talking about this later, but at this point, like literally most of my emotional investment in the playoffs is that Kershaw goes like 50 innings without giving up a run and is looked at as like more Bumgarner than Bumgarner.
That would be amazing.
Well, just in case, as we're saying this, he's pitched 8 innings with 13 strikeouts, no runs, and he only has 93 pitches. He might actually come out for the ninth here.
I think Brusdar is going to come out for the ninth.
That would also. Oh man,
that'd be pretty cool. Yeah, I'm down with that. I'm down with that.
And I know there's going to be a lot of takes on this, both hot and decidedly extremely cold. I don't know. I mean, especially Berríos. I mean, Kenta, maybe.
He was kind of high on pitch count, right?
He was at 91.
He was at 91, but it's the
playoffs in a short season too.
You could potentially, but the thing about it is, one more inning.
Right. The reason they pull him isn't because, I mean, I saw somebody on Twitter say, oh no, after 91 pitches, your arm might fall off. The reason they pull him isn't because his arm might fall off or he might, you know, burn himself out for later in the playoffs or something like that. It's because he has a recorded statistical history of decreasing effectiveness when you get up above 90 pitches.
Well, the same could be said for Berríos too, right?
Point with Berríos is he was about to face the two guys in the lineup that he had already proven that he wanted nothing to do with. He walked them both times. He walked the two guys that one time, Brantley and Bregman, and he was going to face them for the third time. And
right.
You know, fine, if it was going to be, he was going to be facing obvious non-Hall of Famer putts, Jose Altuve.
Altuve was up first that inning.
But if that was all he was going to be doing, that would have been fine. Right. But
right.
Facing Brantley and Bregman, I can't fault them at all for not wanting to face Brantley and Bregman, especially Brantley and Bregman.
Right, and it was the same thing with when they pulled Kenta. It was starting with Brantley, Bregman, and Tucker up when Trevor May took over for Kenta. So it was the same section of the lineup both times, essentially.
And the thing about it is that, yes, the idea about the whole thing is that if you cycle through enough relievers, you're going to find the one who doesn't have his stuff that particular day. But the fact of the matter is that we scored 2 runs in 18 innings. As was brought up before, they've scored more than 4 runs 0 times in the last 16 games. And offenses score on average, 4.5 runs a game? So you are averaging a loss. I mean, even if, maybe not 18 straight losses, because what are the odds of that? Like 1 in 7 trillion or something? But,
no, let's ask Will.
Yeah, he needs to break the thumb. Oh, just real quick, just breaking in real quick. Graterol's coming in for the 9th.
I told you.
But I mean, the thing about it is that, you know, it is definitively, like, absolutely not the pitching. It is.
Right.
We'll get into it further, but it feels more like it is a high risk, high reward, but also very streaky lineup running into a couple of bad injuries to 2 of the most important pieces of the lineup and all misfiring at the same time, like they do every single year. And I can't explain it, but it sucks. And this is what it's been like for the last couple of years.
And there are probably more. I mean, it sure sounds like there are more of them. And this isn't an excuse because they all have to do better. But there are probably more of them than just the 2 who didn't play that are.
Well, I was going to say, I just heard that Polanco was going to get like ankle surgery or something.
He had ankle surgery last fall too, to remove a bone spur. And now they're saying he probably is going to still need a procedure done on that ankle again.
Polanco did what he could this year, but I mean, he had by 20% the worst season he's ever had. I mean, a miserable season.
I don't think he even came close to his average line from before last year, correct? Before he broke out.
Not even remotely close. He had by far his worst season as a full-time major leaguer, by far.
And I think, I still believe, go ahead, you have more to say about Polanco.
Oh, no, and Andy booted an easy ground ball in the 9th inning of an important game.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that, yeah, that, yeah, yeah,
right.
That,
right.
Oh, man, yeah, that seemed to kind of,
right.
That's where everything really unraveled, I think, for sure.
But, but by that point, it already felt,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it felt like a tie game was a loss. It felt like the tie game was them winning by 5 runs. You could tell kind of privately, but all 3 of us had kind of privately been discussing that, like, this is the concern is that these bats are going to go quiet at the worst possible time. And they did. They had every single postseason series that they've had over the last 10 years, they had their one big inning. And then suddenly they just couldn't keep it up. And by big inning, I mean they loaded the bases and then scored nothing.
Yeah, that happened the first inning of both games.
Yeah, when that happened in the second game, I'm like, okay, we know where this one's going. And as you said, like I had to go the second game. I had to go into a work meeting at like the 6th or the 7th inning when it was tied. And I'm like, I know what to expect by the time I get out. And sure enough, what happened? So this was a little bit of a conversation, and that was a good question. Is this just terrible, you know, 1 in 313 million or whatever it was odds? Is this all just terrible luck, or is something else at play?
I think A, that statistical probability doesn't quite work like that.
But also,
I believe that there are 13 billion parallel universes where the Twins have won a playoff game in the last 20 years, and I'm stuck in this one, and it sucks.
Go Twins in 13 million other universes.
Being said, there is a Jeff on Earth, like 13,000, that is losing a lot of money betting against the Twins. Like a ton of money. He's like broke. He's on the street.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I feel bad for that Jeff and those other alternative realities, but that great for the said, Twins.
Jeff in this world is making like a ton of money. You should have bet against the Twins this year, dude.
And if he had said that before the playoffs, I would have been like, actually, that's not a terrible idea, man. Not a terrible idea.
If he would have said that this year before the playoffs, I honestly would have said that he was crazy. But on the same token, it seemed like a possibility. We all knew it.
Yeah. I just didn't believe it against this Astros team. I would have believed it easily against literally anyone else they could have matched up with in the first round.
But that's how you know it was going to happen.
Right. For sure. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, like, easily, it is not. If they had ended up falling to the fourth seed and playing the Yankees, or if Cleveland had lost their last game and they ended up playing Cleveland in a 2-7, or if they had won the Twins had won their final game and Cleveland lost their final game, or whatever needed to happen to make it so that the Twins play Cleveland in the first round, either of those matchups, I easily could see the Twins losing both two games. But yeah, I didn't believe they would lose the first two games like that to this version of the Astros. Because this version of the Astros is so much not as elite as the past few years of Astros have been.
So the question then becomes, like, is the Central Division, I mean, you know, a lot of people were crowing about, like, oh yeah, the Central Division wasn't supposed to be that good, but they sent seven teams to the playoff. Well, is that just because they have like a lot of terrible teams and the better teams feasted on them, or what is the deal?
I don't know. We're all out. That's for sure.
Is it just that hey, we all get to play the Pirates and the Royals and the Tigers and it's super easy.
The Twins had a better record against the Indians and every team from the National League Central other than the Reds than they did against the Royals and the Tigers.
I don't think you can
say anything definitive about, oh, this division is crap because of two games. I will say I do think there are a lot of closely matched teams. I mean, I think all of these teams from these two divisions are really closely matched with each other, other than the three weaker ones. But the other seven who all made the playoffs are actually all pretty – I don't think there's any of them that really stand out from each other. And the problem with that is then they all get a pretty good chunk of wins against each other in the aggregate, and then they're all in position to make the playoffs because, well, the American League West has three really crappy teams, and then they have the Astros. And even the Astros managed to beat enough of the Rangers and the Angels and the Mariners before September started to put them in a position where even when they lost like 10 of 17 in September or whatever, they still made the playoffs. But these seven teams from the Central just got enough wins put together against each other because they're all kind of good, I guess. And now they're all about to be either out of the playoffs or are already out of the playoffs.
Out of all the AL Central teams, Cleveland getting knocked out by the Yankees doesn't surprise me. The Twins getting knocked out by the Astros doesn't surprise me, but that's for different reasons. The Sox getting knocked out by the A's did surprise me, though, even though they were technically the seventh seed against, you know, the second seed A's. It surprised me a little bit, at least. Out of the three, if I had to pick one to go from the three, I would have kind of guess the Sox.
All I can say is Moneyball definitively works because a best Billy, of three series. I mean,
obviously. Billy Bean rides again. Yeah. They got the Astros coming up next. We don't have to go through a whole set of predictions here, but
the Astros are clearly an incredibly tough team with great pitchers that you can't score on. So
yeah, they're very gritty, honorable. That's about as far as I can go with that. What was the quote from, who was it? It wasn't Altuve, it was Correa, who said, do you remember what he said? I don't remember the specifics, but it was something to the effect of like, oh, now nobody can, you know, they're talking about us, but now they can't say anything now. It's like, no, yeah, we still can. We still totally
they deserve a lot of respect. They deserve a ton of respect. There were a couple of people who were saying that, and nope.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we can't say anything? No, we will say you guys are still a bunch of cheaters. Yes, that's not really in dispute.
I don't know. I think that I feel like the Astros have taken this as some sort of moral victory, and that's the worst part about all this. I mean, like,
exactly. You know,
losing to the Yankees again would have sucked, obviously, but losing to the Astros has given them some sort of like moral high ground to this whole thing that is just ridiculous,
or at least that they would like to claim.
All right. And the Dodgers are moving on. Ruzdar made it happen. He got a save. So clearly, the Twins lost that trade.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If they'd had him in the bullpen, they would have survived. You know, forget the fact that Kenta threw like five, you know, what was it, 1-2 runs. But yeah.
Oh, man. That was, I mean, you know, Kenta was just so good this year.
Oh, I know. He's quickly become my favorite one, I think.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we need to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages from Blue Spoon.
Blue Spoon, feeding your dog for 30 years.
Yep, try out their new raspberry pecan pepper jack sandwich kit. We'll be back in a moment.